ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். ஸோ இன் தி லாஸ்ட் வெபினார் வி கம்ப்ளீட்டட் தி ஃபஸ்ட் செக்ஷன் ஆஃப் கட்டோபனிஷத் with the three vallis or three sections, and today we will take up the second section which also has three vallis. And the first valli of the second chapter we will start today, and in these vallis, in these chapters or sections, Yamadharmaraja enters into more serious discussion of the Atma Swarupam which Nachiketas wanted to know from him. So in the first chapter, Yamadharmaraja did discuss Atma Swarupam, but very briefly. In the first chapter, second valli, in the 18th to the 25th shlokas, some verses he dedicated to this topic of Atma Swarupam. And in the third valli of the first section, there also Yamadharmaraja, he gave a few verses on this topic, whereas the elaborate discussion on the Ratha Kalpana, the chariot analogy that was given at that time, which deals with the sadhanas or the preparations. So a serious discussion of Atma Swarupam we get only in the second chapter that we are going to start today. And especially in the first two sections, first two vallis, we get the main teaching of Kathopanishad. So very important chapters. So Jivatma Swarupam is more clearly presented, and Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam also is very clearly presented in the first two sections. And the first valli begins with the discussion of a very important sadhana. The first two shlokas of the first section, the second chapter, they deal with the spiritual preparation for gaining this self-knowledge. Preparations again. And the sadhana prescribed here is non-extravertedness of the mind. Manasaha antar mukhatvam. Non-extravertedness, but to be introvert. An extrovert mind can only see the anatma, which is saguna. It can be absorbed only in the finite world of Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha and all that. So when I look outside, I only experience these five, that is Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa and Gandha. Whereas the Upanishad is revealing Atma as Ashabdam, Arupam, Arasam, Agandham, Asparsham, all that. So how can I discover this Nirguna Atma by getting lost in Saguna Anatma? That is the question. So discovering Nirguna Atma requires turning the mind away from the Saguna Anatma. And Yamadharmaraja says this is the toughest job. The mind naturally is only extrovert. So extrovertedness is the instinctive nature of the mind. Therefore, the mind wants to hear, mind wants to see, smell, and taste. That is how the nature of mind is. So the mind runs outwards only, like a small baby. It always wants to explore. And if you forcibly drag the baby and keep it on your lap, it will be there maybe for a couple of minutes, and then again it will run. And so Yamadharmaraja says this is a very, very natural extrovertedness, and is a very, very big obstacle to a spiritual seeker. Which means the spiritual journey is to almost like going on an uphill. It's an uphill task. When you climb up the mountain, the natural gravitation becomes an obstacle. It will pull you down. While climbing down, you have to only apply brakes. If you have to climb down, you need not push down at all, because in the very weight of the body, you will come down. There is no problem at all. No extra effort is needed. Similarly, in Vedantic pursuit also, we have to fight the natural extrovertedness of the mind. That is the nature of mind. And how can one do that? The only method is the discriminative ability, viveka. Even the Lord has created instincts in us. The very same Lord has given discriminative power also to manage those instincts, the extraverted instincts. And how should I use the discriminative power, the viveka shakti, to address this? By knowing that whatever is outside is perishable. That should be known very clearly. Whatever is outside, they are all perishable. I should not spend my entire life looking myself to the perishable. Shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandha, insecure external anatma. No doubt, I have to live amidst anatma only. That you cannot change, because that's not possible. But my security, my fulfillment, my contentment, etc., insecure, they are all insecure. They are all with respect to the in the external objects. If you put them, they will all be insecure only. This I should get convinced. If the conviction does not come, then we have to go out, get things for ourselves, and get enough kicks here and there, and then try to get convinced. Pariksha lokan karma chitan, get beaten enough and get maturity. So, and then turn your attention from finite to the infinite. That is the approach. So, saguna to nirguna, nirguna, parichinna to aparichinna, or to use the Kathopanishad language, preyas to shreyas. We already saw it in the Shreya Marga and Preya Marga in the first chapter. So, preyas to shreyas, we have to turn our attention. So, if you do not listen to my warning, Yamadharma Raja says, like in the, you know, in the cigarette box, what it says, smoking is injurious to health. That anything outside is perishable is similar to that. So if you don't listen to that, it is going to affect us. So if you hold on to them, not only they will perish, holding on to them, we will perish also. This is the statutory warning given by Yamadharmaraja. And who is going to make them perishable? Which department it is? That is Yamadharmaraja's department only. He only makes them perishable. I will destroy anything and everything other than Atma. That is his department. So hold on to Atma. It is beyond my acts. I cannot do anything to that. The Valli cannot do anything if Sugriva is in the mountain. You know, Valli had a curse. If Sugriva goes to that mountain, Valli can do nothing to him. So Sugriva always stays in the mountain. So this qualification is called detachment born out of viveka, the discriminative power, maturity or conviction or wisdom. So viveka janya vairagyam is the qualification. And this viveka janya vairagyam alone, we call it as antar mukhatvam, introvertness or the absence of extrovertness. And the extrovertedness is called bahir mukhatvam. So, bahirmukhatvam is extrovertedness, antarmukhatvam is introvertedness. So, with this background, now let us enter into the first shloka of the second chapter. Shloka 1. Paranchikani vitranatsvayambuho tasmat parang pasyatinantaratman kaschid dhiraha pratyagatmana maikshate avrittat chakshuramrittatvam ichchan. So Yamadharmaraja talks about an universal, a natural instinctive problem, which is the extrovertedness of the mind and sense organs. So he says, Kani Vitrunath Swayambhuhu. Swayambhuhu means the creator. What did he do? Vitrunath. Vitrunath means destroyed or harassed or afflicted. What? Kani. Kani here refers to the sense organs. So the creator, he destroyed, he damaged all the sense organs. How did he destroy? Paranchi. Paranchi means by making them extrovert. By making all the sense organs extrovert, he literally destroyed them. So Swayambhuho Ishwaraha, so Kani Petranath. The Lord destroyed the sense organs of every human being Paranchi by making them extrovert. So extrovert means what? Seeing only the external perishable anatma. That is extrovert. And therefore, the sense organs and mind are eternally busy. They are running after this and that. So one is never allowed to come to Vedanta at all. That is the glory of Maya. Maya will drag you everywhere. I am kept always busy with one extra external duty or the other. Balastavad Krida Shaktaha. Very busy at the young age. Tarunastavad Taruni Shaktaha. Busy with pacifying or pleasing the spouse and all in youth. You know, generally becomes like nobody is successful in doing that at all anyway. And somehow got married. And Vriddhastavad Chinta Shaktaha. What all tried to achieve and successful, they all successfully failed. So each one of them came in front of the screen of the brain. Kimahagum saduna karavam, kimaham papam akaravam iti. I wanted to do this, I could not do. I did not want to do this, but exactly that's what I did. These are the problem everybody has. So all the time, the external world keeps us very busy with the world not allowing me to come to Vedanta or to come to Atma. And I recognize the problem so late that even if I want to turn my attention to Atma, I am not capable of doing it at that time. So Yamadharmaraja says, Tasmat, because of these worldly preoccupations, endless engagements, ever expanding engagements, all the time engaged in the worldly objects, Tasmat, Parang Pashyati. This person is kept permanently busy seeing the parang. Parang means bahya prapanchaha, the external universe. And generally, he thinks after retirement, he will get time. That's what everybody is trying to postpone. After retirement, I'll take care of all these Upanishads and Vedanta and all. But generally, one becomes more busy after retirement. Some people, they manage, you know, some people, they get lucky perhaps. So, Yamadharmaraja says, Tasmat. Tasmat means what? Indriyanam bahir mukhatvat. Because of the extroverted nature of the senses, parang pashyati. A person is preoccupied with the world. Therefore, na antaratman. One never turns the attention to Atma. Kastvam koham kuta ayataha kame janani kome tataha. All those questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Who is the mother? Who is father? Where am I going? Is there a purpose at all in this life? What is that purpose? Am I working to fulfill that purpose? No time to ask any of these questions at all. And therefore, antaratman, inner self. Naha, na antaratman, no. We have to supply the verb actually, na pashyati. Doesn't see. So, antaratman means antaratmanam. So, he does not see. But this is the general rule with respect to all of humanity. That's no, we don't have to think that I am only unique. All of humanity is like that only. And every general rule has some exception also. And so Yamadharmaraja says, there are some people like you, O Nachiketas, the Upanishads to Upanishadic students who consider it is worthwhile spending the time, energy, heart in the pursuit of Atma, in Vedanta. And so, kaschid dhiraha, some rare discriminative person, kaschid dhiraha, dhiraha. Dhiraha here means nitya, anitya, vastu, viveki. The one who has the viveka shakti. Because he has seen the world and the doshas of the world also he has seen them enough. Do you remember actually the three defects of the external objects? We already seen that earlier. Just to refresh them. The three defects are what? Dukkha, Mishritatvam, everything in the world, however pleasurable it is mixed with pain, dosha number one. And then second thing is what? Atriptikaratvam, whatever one gets, one will never be satisfied, no tripti. And the third defect is bandhakatvam. When I learn to depend on the world for my joy, dependence becomes no problem. It becomes my problem. It becomes my addiction. That dependence becomes my addiction. These three intrinsic defects are there. Where? In Anatma. So in Anatma Vishayas, all these three intrinsic defects are there. So the one who has discerned this defect, he is called a Dhiraha. Not necessarily a very courageous person. This person is called a Dhiraha. So note that the not the physical muscle or you know how much weight he can lift, none of those things, but the intellectual muscle known as the Viveka Shakti he has. So some rare Vivekis, Pratyagatmanam Haikshate, they woke up. So Uttishtata, Jagrata, all that we already saw. And what did they do? However tempting the Anatma may be, as we saw with Nachiketas, Yamadharmaraja offered so many things to him. And what was Nachiketas' answer? Everything is wonderful, but what do? Keep them all with yourself. I don't need any of them. So that is called Dhiratva. And those people, Aikshat, they discovered what? They discovered the Atma, the Self, which is the witness of the Anatma Prapancha, the Anatma universe, which is ever the experiencer and never the object of experience, the Atma. So, Pratyagatmanam Kaschid Dhiraha Aikshate. They got Atma Jnana. And how did they accomplish that? Amrutatvam Ichchanna. Desiring immortality, amrutatvam, that's what they wanted, because he knew that immortality is present in Atma alone. It is not present elsewhere. If you remember actually the previous chapter, where what we said, Atma, the consciousness, is the only one which is beyond parameters of time and space. I already saw that in detail earlier. Because in sleep, even when the time and space have resolved, consciousness continues to survive. We have seen that. So everything else exists within the carpet of time and space only. How do you know that? Pull the carpet, then we will know. The person also is pulled with the carpet. Suppose you pull the carpet, nothing happens to the person. That means he is sitting outside the carpet. That's what it means. Similarly, the whole world is sitting, is located on the carpet of time and space. How do we know? In Sushupti, in deep sleep, when the time-space carpet is pulled out, the whole world disappears. But even after the carpet is pulled, time-space is folded, even after the folding of the entire creation, there is one thing which is not folded, which continues. And what is that? The consciousness, which is the witness of the sleep state also, which is the witness of the absence of the time and space also. Therefore, the only one thing beyond time and space is consciousness. So, do you want immortality? You have to then hold on to Chaitanyam, the Atma. And anything else you hold on to, like a drowning man catching a straw, he will drown along with the straw only. Therefore, amrutatvam ichchanna, desiring immortality. So this intelligent person comes to the timeless Atma, such as this dhiraha. And how do you do that? Avritta chakshuhu, turning the mind and sense organs away from the world. Avritta chakshuhu, turning the attention away from the object. The attention is turned towards the very subject, not the object anymore. And how do you do that? If I want to look at my own face, what do? I look at the mirror. I have told this before actually. We should remember that example. When I look at the mirror, even though it appears as though I am looking outside, really speaking, when I look at the mirror, I look at what? I look at myself only. Similarly, by taking to Shastra Vichara, my Guru Upadesha mirror, the Guru Upadesha mirror, some rare people learn to look at the subject. Some very rare, Kaschidhiraha, some people. So Vedanta is the unique mirror which shows you yourself, the observer. So Avritta Chakshuho, literally means what? Turning eyes inwards, that's what it means. But we should not take it literally. It is not a physical turning, which means is I am no more an extrovert person. I am not enamored by, not lost in the finite elements of the world, because I have turned my attention inward, not extrovert anymore. Shloka number 2. Paracha kaman anuyanti balaha te mrityoryanti vitatasya pasham. Atadhira amrutattvam viditva ధ్రువమధ్రువేష్విహం న ప్రార్థయంతే. ఆల్మోస్ట్ ది సేమ్ ఐడియా దట్ వాస్ గివెన్ ఎర్లియర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ రీఇన్ఫోర్స్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ శ్లోక. సో యమధర్మరాజా సేస్ మెజారిటీ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ నెవర్ గ్రో టు మెచ్యూరిటీ అట్ ఆల్, నెవర్ లర్న్ ఫ్రమ్ ది కిక్స్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్, దే డోంట్. As someone said, experience does not teach a person unless a person knows how to use the experience to learn them. He might have gone through a lot of experiences. Unless he knows how to make use of the experience to learn from them, he will never learn anything. And that is why experiences remaining the same, some people learn, but many others continue to be retarded spiritually. So only physically the weight has increased. And intellectually, many degrees might have been added. Hair might have even turned completely gray. But in spite of all these experiences, many people are balaha only. They have not matured at all. So Yamadharmaraja says, they are all childish. In spite of their age, they are immature internally, childish, and never learned from the kicks of life, the experiences of life. Therefore, what do? పరాచః కామాన్ అనుయంతి బాలాః. దే కంటిన్యూ టు రన్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ వన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ టు ది అదర్, దట్స్ ఫర్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్. ఫస్ట్ దే హెల్డ్ ఆన్ టు వన్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్, దే గెట్ ద కిక్, దెన్ దే సఫర్డ్, దెన్ ది సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ పెరిష్డ్ అండ్ దే టర్న్ ద అటెన్షన్ టు ది నెక్స్ట్ వన్. సో వై కాంట్ దే థింక్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ద డిపెండెన్స్ ఆన్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్ దట్ ఈస్ అ ప్రాబ్లమ్. And therefore, I should learn to become independent. They never learned it. Why can't they learn? Instead of learning the lesson, what do? When one sense object perishes, they go to another perishable sense object only. Like a person who gives up one addiction to replace with another addiction. I gave up smoking, but I have taken up snuff or betel nut or some of those things. You know, India, this is all common. Why can't learn from one addiction itself? Yamadharmaraja says, very, very few people learn. Therefore, kaman anuyanti. They chase like a wild goose chase, in spite of repeated failures. Here, kamaha means not desire, but sense objects, anatmanaha. So this is anatmanaha, all those sense objects, that's what it means. Kaman anuyanti. They run after the sense objects only. And when we say sense objects, it includes, what are the things it includes? An inert object, a live person, and three, a situation. It could be any one of them. It could be an inert object they may like to, or it may be a live person they may like, or a situation. All three come under anatma only. So a living being also comes under anatma, and an object also, and a situation also is called anatma. So when we are attached to a living being, are we attached to the Atma or Anatma? For example, if you are attached to person X, are we attached to the Atma or the Anatma? Anatma alone. If you are attached to the Atma, then there is no problem. Because there is no question of losing the person if you are attached to the Atma or coming away from that person. That is why Krishna had to give a very, very big sermon to Arjuna. The entire Bhagavad Gita was centered on that. If Arjuna's attachment was to be for Bhishma's Atma or Dronacharya's Atma, why should he worry about killing them? Because Arjuna is never going to kill Bhishma's Atma at all. He can never do that. But Arjuna's attachment was not attached to the Atma, but to the perishable Anatma body of Bhishma and Drona. And so they are attached to people, things and situations, and they chase them. Anuyanti, they chase them. And what is their lot when they do that? Since they are living within the field of anatma, they are living within the range of time and space. Because anatma is controlled by time and space. Holding on to anatma means what? Functioning within time and space. And that means Yamadharmaraja's threat is permanently there. In the domain of time and space, Yamadharmaraja's threat is permanently there. The biggest terrorist is Yama. Since we do not know when and whom he will scratch and strike. It is like fighting a person within a dark room. I cannot see the person, but he can see me. Imagine that. my fight with Yama Dharmaraja is in such a particular condition, he can see and attack me anytime, but I cannot see him, I cannot know when he is going to attack also. So these people are Te Balaha, those childish people, those indiscriminate people, they enter into Pasham. Pasham means the wide net. They enter into that net like a hunter using a net to capture the animals and birds. Yama Dharmaraja has spread this vast net of what? Kalaha, time. The time principle to capture everybody. So the Kala net is there. Makuru dana jana yavana garvam. Harati nimeshat kalaha sarvam. Kalo jagat bakshakaha. Ayur nashyati pashyatam pratidinam vyadihi kshayam yavanam. All those. All our spiritual books, they repeatedly warn us. Kala is spread all over, except in one place. That net does not reach only one place. In religious language, we call it Lord. The Kala will not reach the Lord. But in philosophical, in Vedanta language, we call it Atma. That is the only difference. That is why through Markandeya's story, what is pointed out? He embraced the Shivalinga. Means what? He got Atma Jnanam. That is, the Jivatma embraced the Paramatma and became one with it. It is the story of Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikya Jnanam. Markandeya's story is only that. So Yamadharmaraja cannot go anywhere near such a person. Therefore, Yama wants here. What does he want? Pasham, the net of Mrityoho. Yama is spread all over. Mrityoho is Yamadharmaraja. Is spread all over. So they enter into the net of Yamadharmaraja, and where is the net? Where is that net spread over? Vitatasya will be in all the 14 lokas. It is not just only in Bhuloka. It is there in all the 14 lokas. One cannot escape that at all. Even in Brahma Loka, time principle is there. It may be the largest domain of time, as I have given earlier, but still time element is there. How do we know? Brahmaji himself goes away. After 100 years of his life, he himself goes away, saying how, you know, he himself goes away. The very same scriptures, they talk about Brahmaji, they point out, Abrahma Bhuvana Lokaha Punaravartinorjuna Mamupetyatu Kaunteya Punarjanma Na Vidyate. That's what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita. He tells Arjuna, you go to any of the 14 lokas, time will chase you, but Mamupetya, come to me. Come to me means the Atma. The time principle cannot touch you at all because I am beyond time. And so others get into the net of Yama Dharmaraja. Atha, on the other hand, Dhiraha, the discriminative people who are very rare, who are sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. What do they do? Dhruvam amrutatvam viditva. They come to the absolute immortality of Atma, amrutatvam viditva. They come to the Atma, which is the embodiment of absolute immortality. Dhruvam amrutatvam. Absolute immortality. Why does Yama Dharmaraja say absolute immortality? Because in the scriptures, there is a relative immortality. Long life is there in the scriptures. It is like a permanent job means what? There is no job permanent. Normally they say in India, oh, he got the job, permanent job. Compared to 6 months of probation, it is permanent. 25 years, 30 years is relatively permanent. And in Sanskrit, it is called Apekshika Amrutatvam. Sanskrit, we call it Apekshika Amrutatvam. So, Swargaloka is relatively permanent compared to Bhuloka. It has a very long life in Swargaloka. In Satyaloka, it is a very, very long life. That is why 7 grades are there. Bhuvarloka, Suvarloka, but compared to Bhuvarloka, Suvarloka is more permanent, and Maharloka, Janoloka, all those things, they are all more and more permanent compared to Bhuloka. But all these are Apekshika Amrutatvam only, relative permanence only. Whereas Atma is what? Dhruvam Amrutatvam. Dhruvam, Atma is Atyantikam Amrutatvam. These discerning people, these Dhiraha, they attain Viditva, they know they attain, and then what is the advantage if they attain that? He says, Iha na prathayante. Iha means, so Dhruvesho. So na prath, having discovered the Purnatvam, having discovered the truth, they do not seek anything else in the perishable world at all, because they have got this immortal bliss. Having got the imperishable Atma, they do not seek anything perishable in this world. So, Yavan Artha Udapane Sarvata Sampratodake Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanataha. That's what the Lord said. When I have got a huge lake of water, pure water, will I go after the miserable well and small ponds? I won't. So in life, everything else becomes only a bonus. Remember the example actually. So, you know, in a series of tennis matches, I won. Best of five. First three we have won. Then how do we play the other two? We have already won the series. Because best of five is going to determine who is winning. And I already won the first three. Then how am I going to play the next two? I just don't care, right? So for the sake of completion, I have to pay. Because tickets have been sold, people are going to, they are waiting to see. So many records have to be broken. So for all that only I have to play. But already I have reached the goal. So the fourth and fifth matches are played. We want to get all the five also. So, but in and through all the games, what is the feeling? We have won the match. If the first three are won, we have won the match. There is an inner fulfillment throughout the game. Imagine that state of mind in life. Whatever you do becomes like that. Achieved, wonderful. Not achieved, equally wonderful. No problem. Because you have already achieved what is the ultimate thing to be achieved in this birth. So the relative worldly achievements or failure, they do not affect my inner Purnatvam. I am always Purnaha. And therefore, Adruveshu, among the perishable objects, Adruveshu, among the perishable objects of the external world, Na Prathayante, they do not seek anything at all. They do not want anything from the perishable world of objects. Sloka 3. Yena Rupam Rasam Gandham Shabdan Sparshagascha Maitunan Yete naiva vijanati kimatra parishishyate yetad vetate. So in the first two shlokas, introduction was given by presenting an important qualification. And what is that qualification? Antarmukhatvam, or removing the obstacle of bahirmukhatvam. One should not be extrovert, but turn inward. Now, after the introduction, Yamadharmaraja enters into the subject of Atmasarupa. So, following shlokas are considered very, very important. One of the central sections of Kathopanishad. Here, Yamadharmaraja defines as Atma as the consciousness principle, because of which everything is experienced, everything is objectified. So, it is the experiencer of all, and is distinct from everything that is experienced. So, what am I supposed to do now? Take everything that we experience and negate them all. Neti, neti. This is not this. This is not this. Atma is not that. So, the entire anatma can be divided now into three levels. First, the external world, the bahya prapanchaha. Since I experience the external world, it comes under what? Because it is experienced. It comes under anatma only. So, I am not any one of these external objects. I, the atma, am not any one of these external objects. In fact, this everybody knows. There is no confusion with everybody. They all know that. I don't mistake myself as this table or as this computer. I know that extremely well. So, the first anatma is what? Is the world. I should understand that, number one. And the second one is, when you come closer to one's own body and ask the question, is body an object of experience or not? And if you go by your own experience, the body is also an object of experience only, available in the waking state and not available in the dream and sleep state. It is available for others, but for me, the experiencer, it is not available in those states. So body comes under object or subject. It's only an experienced object. When you ask the question, the body comes into object or subject, it is only an experienced object only, because it is available for others, but for me, the experiencer, it is not available during the dream state and the sleep state. and coming closer, if you ask the question, is my mind an object of experience or not? And we will find that I am the witness of the experience of the mind also, which is available during the waking and dream state, and the mind is resolved in the deep sleep state. Therefore, the mind also is a temporary object available for my transaction. Thus, world is an object, body is an object, the mind also is an object. The only difference is body and mind are objects only, but I use them as my instruments. Therefore, they are very close to me. The other bodies are not, they are not close to me because they are external. Like spectacles and the book, for example. And all these three are experienced by whom? Because the spectacle is always very close, too close to me. So all these three are experienced by whom? That experiencer, the consciousness, that is the subject. And that experiencer is Atma. That is how it is defined. So Yamadharma Raja says, Etat Vaitat. That consciousness alone is yourself. It is not the body. It is not the mind. It is not the external world. But the body mind is like a bulb for the manifestation of consciousness that we have seen earlier. And in fact, the manifest consciousness is called the life or sentiency principle, the sentient principle. And when the body mind complex perishes, the manifest consciousness is not available, which is called death. So when the body mind complex that perishes, then the manifest consciousness is not available for manifestation, because the medium is destroyed, it's gone. So we call that death. So death is the end of, not of consciousness, but the manifestation of consciousness. We have to be very clear. Death is not the end of consciousness, but the manifestation of consciousness. So after death also, consciousness continues in what way? In unmanifest condition, in dormant condition. We have to understand. So after death also, consciousness continues only. So avyakta rupena sarvatra, vyakta rupena sharire, sharire cha chaitanyam vartate. Avyakta rupena sarvatra, vyakta rupena sharire, in the body, in the manifest condition, but in the unmanifest condition, everything chaitanyam vartate. So in unmanifest form, consciousness is everywhere. And in manifest form, it is in the medium called the living being or the body. And the scriptures point out that the consciousness is your true nature. That's what the scriptures point out, which means this consciousness is you. Tat tvam asi. Tat tvam asi. So, and to assimilate that only, we have given, the light example and all those things we have given earlier. Like the light on the hand, we already gave that example on the hand. It is not part of the hand. The light on the hand is not part of the hand. It is not the property of the hand, or it is a product of the hand. Light is an independent entity which pervades the hand. Light is not limited by the size of the hand. And the light which is pervading the entire hall will continue to be there even when my hand is removed. It will be there. So only difference is what? When the hand is there, light is manifest because the reflecting medium, namely the hand. When the hand is removed, the light continues but is not manifest because the reflecting medium, namely the hand, is removed. So consciousness is like akasha and like prakasha. So that is why scriptures give these two examples. Chaitanya akashaha, chaitanya prakashaha. Now the next question will be what? How am I to own up this nature of consciousness? How can I own up? The Upanishad says, it gives a method. It's called Drik Drishya Vivekaha. This is a method which the Upanishad gives. How to own up consciousness? Drik Drishya Vivekaha, or Observer Observed Analysis. Drik Drishya Vivekaha means Observer Observed Analysis. And what am I supposed to do there? Whatever I am experiencing is an object different from me. I should understand. Whatever I am experiencing is an object different from me. And so keep on negating the observed ones. In the first stage of negation, you dismiss the whole creation as an observed entity, the entire world as an observed entity in the form of Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa and Gandha. And the entire creation consisting of Shabdadis is an observed thing only. So I am not the observed, I am not the universe, the observed one. Having crossed the first stage of negating the universe, then come to the next stage, that is the observation of your own body. So observe, first negate the entire world as being observed, which is external, and then comes to one's own body and learn to dismiss the body also as an object of experience. The only difference being, it is an intimate object of experience compared to the external world, like my spectacles, my glasses, let's say. Always it is with me. So even though the spectacles are also an object, since it is serving as a medium to see, I am most likely I miss it and consider it as part of me. But we should remember, it is also an object only. The spectacles are also an object. Similarly, the scriptures say that your physical body is like your contact lens, let us say. It is an intimate object, all right, which is serving as a medium for experiencing the world. But the medium also is an object only. And so what is the second stage? Negate the body also as an object of experience. This is a little tough. Negating the world as an object of experience, that may be straightforward. Whereas negating one's own body also as an object of experience, because of the intimacy, right from birth, it is with me. And then we come to the toughest stage wherein you come to your mind. So now you negated the body, physical body. Now you come to the mind, which is still more intimate than the physical body. How do you know that? When you go to Swapna Avastha, in deep sleep state, the dream stage, you have discarded your physical body at that time. Still, you continue to be associated with your mind. You are not functioning through the body, but you are functioning through the mind in the deep sleep state, indicating that mind is an inner dress, like the undergarment. So focus the attention on the mind and try to see the mind also as an object of experience. I am aware of the mind. I am aware of the thoughts in the mind. Why? Even when all the thoughts are gone, I am aware of the thoughtlessness of the mind. It's all very little tricky. Even though I am aware of the mind, but I am also aware of the thoughtlessness of the mind. So not only I am aware of the mind, but also the properties of the mind, the thoughtful mind or the thoughtless mind. I am aware of both of them. So when all the objects, and since I am the experiencer of the mind, the mind also is an object of experience, and therefore I am not that mind also. So when all the objects are disowned, first I disowned the external world, then I disowned my body, now I disowned my mind also, the body and mind, then what will be left out? Only the experiencer, namely the subject alone, will be left out. And we should not ask the question, how to experience the subject? That question we should not ask. The experiencer is ever the experiencer only. So, drigeva natu drishyate. Drigeva. So, eyes are ever the seers. You can never look at your own eyes. With the mirror only you can look at your eyes, but you can never look at your own eyes. When you look at the mirror, you are not seeing your real eyes. You are seeing only the image of the eyes. The reflected image of the eyes only. So the experiencer is never experienced. What is the proof then that it is existent? That question also will come. The Upanishads say you do not require a separate experience of the experiencer at all, because the experience of every object reveals the presence of the experiencer. You don't need a separate proof for that. Like what? I need not separately see my eyes to know they exist. The eyes are revealed when I see every object. I don't need a proof to show that my eyes exist. So seeing you reveals the existence of what? The seer eyes. But am I going to see my own eyes anytime? And if I'm intelligent, I am never going to attempt to see my eyes, because I know every perception reveals the perceiver. Every experience reveals the experiencer. What is experienced, that might vary, but the experience does, the experiencer does not. Whatever is experienced, the experiences might vary, but the experiencer does not. In Keno Upanishad, actually, second chapter, it says, Pradibodha Viditam Matam. It says, how do you own up the consciousness? You own up the consciousness as the I, the experiencer of the world, the body and mind. That is how I own up the consciousness. And I am different from the world. I am different from the body. I am different from the mind. And I am the consciousness inherent in the body and mind. And in sleep, the body is also resolved. And so is the mind. But I, the consciousness, will continue. But what is the difference then? When the body and mind are available, the world is experienced, because the medium is there. The body, mind, medium is there, so the world is experienced. But whether I experience or not, I am ever existent. I am the Chaitanyam, like the space, like consciousness. I am ever existent. And this is called Vedanta. And Yamadharma Maharaja tries to communicate this idea in this particular shloka. He says, Yena. Yena means by the observer, the consciousness, Yetena, which is intimately available in every part of the body, as the very subject, it is available. This consciousness, as the very subject, is available in every body. So, by the intimately available consciousness, Vijanati, a person knows or experiences, Vijanati. What? Everything. He experiences everything or knows everything. What do we mean by everything here? Rupam, rasam, gandham, shabdana, sparshana. That is the intelligent method of classifying the world. Everything comes under these five principles only. Sound, touch. Sound is rupa. Sound is what? Shabdam. Touch is sparsham. And rupam is form. Rasam is taste. And gandham is smell. So maithunan means all transactions or interactions, especially the human interactions, all interactions that we have, relationship with people. So literally maithunam means a pair. Here it is interaction between pairs of people. The pair can be anyone, husband and wife, parent and child, guru, shishya, it could be anything, any of those relationships. So all these are known, vijanati. Through what? This independent consciousness. They are all known. And then he says, Kim atra parishishyate. What is there in the world which is outside this consciousness? Outside this consciousness, what is there at all? Which means everything falls within this consciousness only. And what type of consciousness is? Space-like consciousness. It's not space. It is space-like consciousness. How do you know everything falls within consciousness? Very simple. If anything is outside the consciousness, then you will never be conscious of that. If anything is outside the consciousness, you will never be conscious of that. So, and if you are never conscious of that, how can you talk about its existence? You cannot talk about if it is outside consciousness. And therefore, if you talk about the existence of anything, it means you know that. That's what it means. If you don't know, you cannot enumerate it. The very enumeration proves that you know it. That means it is within the scope of consciousness. And so everything that is known is within consciousness. Then if I ask, suppose we have a thing which you do not know, let us assume, then you are not going to talk about it. If you do not know something, you are not going to talk about it. If you are getting to know about it later, then you are going to talk about its existence later. And when you talk about its existence, you know it. That means it falls within consciousness. In short, everything has to fall within consciousness. And so Yamadharma Raja asks, Kim atra parishishyate? what is left out in the world, which is outside consciousness. In short, consciousness is all pervading. That is his message. And then Yamaraja says, Etat Vaitate. This consciousness is the Atma, which you wanted to know through the third boon. That is what you asked, third boon. And what was it? The third boon is, Yeyam prete vichikitsa manushye astitike nayam astiti chaike. That is in the first section, this is the 20th mantra. And the very same boon was defined later also in the second section of the first chapter, in the 14th shloka. Anyatra dharmatu, anyatra dharmatu, anyatra atmatu, antramas kriya krita krita. So in that shloka, I mentioned all these shlokas are very important when we discussed all of them. So two times you asked about the Atma. O Nachiketas, you asked about the Atma twice. This consciousness alone is that Atma. In fact, Atma is never the subject. Therefore, Aham Atma Asmi. So number shloka 4. Svapnantam jagaritantam cha ubau yena anupashyati mahantam vibhum atmanam matva dhirona shochati. So from the third mantra onwards, Yamadharmaraja begins his teaching of Atma, the total nature of everyone, the real nature of everyone, which Nachiketas wanted to know through the third boon. And the Atma Swarupam was presented as Chaitanyam, the pure consciousness, in the mantras 3 and 4. And to reveal this Chaitanya Swarupam, Yamadharmaraja used this particular technique called Drik Drishya Viveka in the third mantra, which we saw earlier, and Avastatraya Viveka in the fourth mantra. By Drik Drishya Viveka, we mean that Atma is revealed as the external subject, which is different from, as the eternal subject, which is different from every experienced object. And by this method, the world is negated as an object. Body is negated as an object. Mind also is negated as an object. That's what he did. So, and that witness principle, which is aware of all these three, the witness I, which is the conscious principle, is Atma. And from this we know that Atma is ever the experiencer, I, and never the object of experience, internally or externally. This method is called Drishya Viveka, which is subject-object analysis. Now, this very same Atma is revealed as Avastatraya Sakshi, the witness of all three states of consciousness, that which is the witness of all the three states of experiences. What are the three states of experience? The Jagrada Avastha, the waking state, the Swapna Avastha, dream state, and Sushupti Avastha, the deep sleep state. And what is the uniqueness of Jagrada Avastha, the waking state? Jagrada Avastha is one in which I experience the external world through the mind, whereas in Swapna Avastha, I experience the internal world projected by the mind. In both, I experience the world. One is objective world outside, and the other is subjective world inside. That's the difference between Jagrada Avastha and Swapna Avastha. It is like experiencing or seeing the same tennis match twice in the TV. How do you watch the match twice in the TV? First time we watch live in the TV. And what does it mean? First time when we watch in the TV, the top right, it is written live in the TV. If you see in the TV, it is written live match, right? There is a parallel match going on elsewhere. When on the top right, it is written as recorded or replay, then here also we are watching the same match only, all right? But correspondingly, there is no match going on elsewhere. It is a recorded match. In fact, the players may be asleep maybe at that time. But as you watch the TV, if the top right is covered, let us say, you do not know the difference, whether it is a live match or a recorded match. If you have not read the newspaper also, you don't know if it is a live match or a recorded match. It is equally wonderful or terrible, depends how the game goes and which is your favorite team. In one, we see the external match through the TV, and in the other, we watch the internal match which is projected from the VCR. In the same way, the mind watches the world outside during Jagrada Avastha, and in the dream state, I watch the internal world, which is recorded and activated during dream. All these we saw actually in Tattva Bodham. If those who attended, they remember, Jagradavastayam, Yad Drishtam, Yad Shrutam, Tajjanita Vasanayam, Nidrasamaye, Yad Prapanchaha Pridiyate, Sa Swapnavastha. We already saw that shloka earlier. And the beauty is, in both states of experience, we have the distinct time, space, and objects. In Jagradavastha, the objects are distinct. Made up of what? The five elements. They are the Baudhika Vishayas, all of them. Whereas in the Swapnavastha, the objects are made of the five elements, but your own thought. They are not made of the five elements. They are your own thoughts. It is Vasanamaya Simha. Vasanamaya, all those, the lion or tiger or whatever you see, they are all brought out from your own mind. So the tree or line in the dream is not made out of the five elements outside, but they are made up of our own thoughts. Therefore, the objects are different. And then the time also is different. In Jagravastha, we have one scale of time. In Swapnavastha, we have a different scale of time. That is why a couple of minutes dream, we get children, grandchildren, children go to college, get married, all those things we can do in 1 or 2 minutes of dream. We don't ask how this is possible. Don't ask those questions, because Swapna Kala is different from Jagrat Kala. Therefore, Vishaya Bedaha and Kala Bedaha. And Desha Bedaha also. The space is also different. We see the whole dream in our head only. How much space is there in the head? I don't think it is too much empty, perhaps. It is empty, all right, for many people. But within that empty space, we watch them. We watch what? The sky, the stars, the mountains, the moon, the oceans, everything we watch in that space in the head. So we have a different space scale also. So we have a different time scale. We have a different space scale also. But what is common in both? Desha, Kala, Vastu are all different. The only common factor is the observing consciousness. That alone is common. And who is that observing consciousness? We should not search for it. I am the observing consciousness. The time scale and space scale may vary, the objects may vary, but I, the observing consciousness, I do not vary. And therefore, what is conveyed here? Time comes and goes, space comes and goes, and who does not come and go? I do not come and go. Therefore, I am beyond the arriving, departing time space paradigm or parameter. So, Desha Atita Chaitanyam. Kala Atita Chaitanyam. In short, Avastatraya Sakshi Chaitanyam. And how do you know that the time and space come and go? Because when you go to the deep sleep state, Jagrat Kala is gone. Swapna Kala is also gone. In Sushupti, there is no Kala at all. When do you know that you have overslept? For example, somebody oversleeps. When do you know that? Only after waking up. In sleep, there is no Desha and Kala. Desha and Kala is space and time. And this Desha Kala Rahita Avastha is called Sushupti Avastha. And that is also observed by whom? I am the experiencer of the Sushupti Avastha also. And that I is the Atma. Therefore, Yamadharmaraja says, Yena, by this observer consciousness alone, by this witness consciousness alone, or Sakshi Chaitanyam alone, Anupashyati, a person experiences, he is aware. Swapnantam means what? Swapna padarthan, swapna vishayan, all the objects of dream. Which means three things here. What are they? Swapna desha, swapna space, swapna kala, swapna time, and swapna vastu, objects of swapna. And not only that, the same consciousness alone witnesses. Jagaritantancha means what? Jagaritam padarthan, which consists of Jagrat Desha, the wakeful space principle, the wakeful time, and all the Vishayas, all the objects in the wakeful state. And both of them, Ubhav. So we have to add here, the absence of both of them in sleep. So the same in deep sleep. So the same consciousness witnesses the presence of both of them as well as the absence of both of them. Presence of both of them in the Jagravastha and Swapnavastha, and absence of both of them in the deep sleep state. It is like what? Emptying a hall. When you empty the hall, we say there is nothing in the hall. It's empty. Then Vedanta will ask, how do you know the hall is empty? Because to illumine the emptiness of the hall, what do we require? The light is required. It has to pervade the hall. If there is no light, you can never say that the hall is empty. Similarly, in sleep, you are saying everything is empty. Remember, emptiness means what? Pure consciousness. So whenever there is a thoughtless state, it is nothing but pure consciousness. It is not empty mind. Mind can never be empty. It is always pervaded by consciousness, just as the hall is pervaded by light. We have got only two possibilities, either light plus object or light minus object in the hall. Whether object is there or not, but light is always there. How do you know light is always there? Because of light alone, we are able to talk about the presence of object or absence of object. Similarly, in sleep also, consciousness is there. And what is the size of that consciousness? Mahantam. Don't think that the consciousness is located in your brain. If located in the brain, it can at the most be as big as the brain only. Therefore, Mahantam. How big? Mountain big or planet big or sun big? How big it is? The Upanishad says, Vibhum Mahantam. Vibhum. Infinitely big. All pervading big. So, Vibhum Mahantam. Natu Apekshika Mahatvam. Parantu Adyantika Mahatvam. It is not relative big. Apekshika Mahatvam. But absolute big. Adyantika Mahatvam. Because the world is big. That's the relative statement. Relative word. Big mosquito, big mountain. They are all relative. And so the Upanishad says, Vibhum Mahantam. Meaning that it is not relatively big, but absolutely big. Means very infinite. And such an infinitely big Atma, Matva, you have to know. How? Not as an object, but you have to know it as I, the very subject. So, Matva. Aham iti jnatva. Matva means aham iti jnatva. So, Atma is neither inside you, nor outside you, but it is you. Because our problem is what? For some time, we look for Atma outside. Thereafterwards, we look for Atma inside. Because in some books, what they said? They said, look within. So, because they said, look within, we look within. So, within your body, what is there? Heart, liver, kidneys, all those things are there. Then somebody started looking within the mind. And what is there? Raga, Dvesha, Kama, Krodha, they are all there. Therefore, it is neither within you nor outside you, but it is you. Therefore, how do you know Atma? I am the Atma iti matva. Dhiraha, that discriminative person, because it requires a very sensitive mind, because we should drop our objectiveness tendency, the objectification tendency. We wait for anatma to atma to come. That should not be there, because we always want to experience atma and we want that atma to come. And that waiting tendency should be dropped. And for that, we require a very, very subtle mind, a sharp and subtle mind. And if that subtle mind is not there, then he will say, I have studied all the Upanishads, I studied Gita, and I am practicing intense meditation, and I hope one day the Atma will come. And I will have a direct darshan of Atma. So no guru can help such a person at all, because he is really waiting for himself only.